Welcome back to this last session. My name's Rob Walls from the National Library. I'd like to welcome you. A little housekeeping announcement. I should preface this by saying I'm not encouraging anybody to leave early, but if you do have to leave early to catch a plane or something, just a reminder, please leave your evaluation form out on the table in the foyer. So welcome to this session, which is about new ways of creating subject cataloguing. First up, Alison DeLitt and Juan Wong from the National Library are here to tell us about a new subject cataloguing tool that they've developed. Since joining the National Library in 2006, Alison has worked on a number of projects, including the relevance ranking of bibliographic records, investigating the use of handheld scanners in bibliographic record creation, the development of index-level map records, and improving the collection control of the library's poster collection. She is currently working as a senior librarian in the Collaborative Services branch of the library. Juan Wong is currently working in the Bibliographic Standards area in the National Library of Australia, and she has been a cataloguer for over 15 years with a particular emphasis in Chinese language cataloguing. Please join me in welcoming Alison and Juan.
Thank you, Rob. Can everyone hear me at the back? Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. As Rob said, I'm Juan, and today Alison and I are presenting to you about our thoughts on how subject cataloguing can be done faster, better, and cheaper. Alison and I have been working on a project looking at developing a tool to improve the efficiency of the subject cataloguing process. So today my part would focus on this project, and after that Alison will be sharing with you some of our thoughts about the future of subject cataloguing. Subject cataloguing is about the organization of information by providing a structure to categorize those information. In the very beginning, catalogers may well have started with categorizing serials, but nowadays they are more likely to be dealing with an extremely wide variety of library materials available in huge quantities through different channels. And in this age of information explosion, everyone here, catalogers and their managers, are actively seeking ways to do more with less. I think we all agree that subject cataloging is a time-consuming but an essential step in the whole cataloging process. A subject cataloging, as we know it, we use a thesaurus with a controlled vocabulary to give users the most specific and unambiguous subject heading that they are looking for to satisfy their information needs. Subject headings also give them a context and a reference structure if they want to broaden or narrow down their search. In most libraries in the English-speaking world, the controlled vocabulary is provided through the Library of Congress subject heading. Most of our current cataloging processes and our online catalog searching facilities are built around this vocabulary. However, to look up or construct subject headings in LCSH is quite a different process. It's not always straightforward. In the National Library, we provide a lot of training to catalogers to use all the various different tools that are available to them to construct or look up subject headings. Some of them are online, like Classification Web. Some of them are printed, like the subject cataloging menu, which we still like in the printed form. Bibliographic records in the local database and in the national database are other places that they need to look up to check how subject headings have been applied. In the National Library, we have watched catalogers do their subject analysis and subject cataloging, and we found that because they have to use all those different tools, they need a very good understanding of what each tool can offer and a logical process to work through all those tools to get to the result they want. Even for experienced catalogers, sometimes it can be a bit cumbersome. That's why we have thought about this project, which is to develop a subject suggester tool. We want it to be a one-stop shop where most of the subject cataloging process can be done in one place. And our aim is to make this process much more efficient and the outcome much more accurate. In other words, we want to make the subject cataloging process faster, better, and cheaper. To do that, we want the tool to do these following things. Firstly, to pull together different data from various sources. The first thing, of course, is the HALT LCSH authority file, including the authorized headings, the references, and the scope notes. Secondly, apart from the authority subject, the subject authority records, we also need all those free subdivisions, free floating subdivisions, the general ones, plus those under pattern headings, such as industries, languages, and so on. When Australians use different terms from our American colleagues, we create headings and call them the Australian extension to LCSH. Of course, we need to provide that in the tool, and we need to flag all these headings very clearly to say they are Australian. In the National Library, we have a limited number of institution-specific subject terms that we apply to certain categories of materials, such as music and manuscript. We would provide that in the tool as well. And of course, we want the tool to take us to a search in the National Bibliographic Database so we can look at some bibliographic records, and having Dewey in the tool will be a logical thing to do. But we'll talk about that a bit later. Secondly, we want to be able to search the whole authority record in one go in the tool. So the tool will give us a keyword search box, and it searches through the authorized headings, all the references, and terms in the scope notes. When it brings back results to us, the results will be relevance ranked, and we'll be looking at how to do that very carefully, probably matching a match in the subject heading in the main authorized heading, the frequency of the heading, the frequency of use in the bibliographic database, and the currency of the heading will be taken into account. I've mentioned that we want a search in the national database. We want to know how many records have used a particular subject heading or a subject heading string. We want to be able to limit the search to National Library only or to the Library of Congress only, because if it's a subject heading that we are not familiar with, we want to see how LC has applied it. And we want the tool to tell us when a subject heading was last used in the National Bibliographic Database. Because if it's last used, say, 10 years ago, we should be just a little bit more careful. As I said, it will be logical for the tool to include DDC data. The Dewey classification is what we use mostly in the National Library. And as the last step in the subject cataloging process, after you've identified a subject heading, it will be logical for the tool to give us suggested Dewey numbers. We want the tool to tell us how those numbers are mapped to a subject heading, editorially or statistically. And we want the cataloger to be able to see the captions and the hierarchies so that they know the context of the number and how a number is derived. To complement this information, we can also do a search in the National Bibliographic Database for a particular subject heading. And within the result set, we can ask the tool to pull up all those Dewey numbers and relevance rank the results. This time, we will prefer National Library records to be ranked first and records using Dewey Edition 22 to be ranked first. Last but not least, we would like the tool to talk to our local system in a seamless way. We want to bring up the tool from our local system, from the cataloging module, and after our search, if we found our perfect subject heading, we want to export that back into the tool, into an already formatted 650 field with the correct subfields if we can. And also we want to export a Dewey number into a formatted 082 field. So this is my wish list. Now I would like to show you what we think the tool can look like. Please note this is a mock-up screen. It's not the actual prototype. We're still making changes to our prototype. So this is mock-up screen. Right now, the mock-up screen works with Firefox. There's no fancy design yet, but that will come. You can see that we have entered a search term called fish. It's actually not the valid LCSH, but because the tool has a stem search feature, it will lead us to fishes, which is the valid LCSH. This is our perfect match for our search term. If we click this hyperlink, we can see the authority record displayed. In our prototype, we would have all these references, narrower terms and broader terms hyperlinked, so we can search on them from here. Just close that for a minute. This is the bibliographic database search. It will take you to the national, to Libraries Australia search, to a live search. At the moment, it links to our Library Lab search. And you can see there are the number of items matching this heading in the bibliographic database, how many of them are from the National Library, and how many of them are from the Library of Congress. Here we have put two suggested DOI. Actually, there are quite a few more DOIs associated with fishes, but we've put two here to illustrate to you. This is a DOI in the economics area. If we click that, we can see a hierarchy. The other one is in the zoological area where fishes is studied as a biological organism. Now here are the sample titles. So if you don't want to see all these 125 items, you can just click here and you can see the first five. So they are relevance ranked. We need to work that out, how the relevance ranking here should work. And then you can have the option of going more or going live to Libraries Australia search. The other thing you can do is to click this. If you click that main heading, you may already have noticed, we can see some of the subdivisions that we can use under fishes. And under each of these subdivisions, we can have the same thing repeating. We can have the DOI numbers and sample titles as well, or further subdivisions under this particular subdivision, so we can have the whole hierarchy going down. As I mentioned, we would like to have all the subdivisions information in one place, so the cataloger can complete the construction of the whole string in one go. So this is an icon that will take us to a search for the subdivision. There will be options to search just the general free-floating subdivisions or the ones under pattern headings. And for all those of you who use Voyager in your libraries, you may recognize this little pretty yacht, which is saved to the database in Voyager. So by clicking this, we can export this data back into Voyager. On this right-hand column, we have the possibly related searches at the moment. There is still a lot of work to be done, I think, on this right-hand column about what best to put in here. Right now, what's in here are subject headings based on terms in the authority record in our main heading, fishes. If we scroll down here, we can see all these narrower terms related to fishes. These are all the particular types of fish. They may not be listed in the authority record for fishes as a heading, but in their own authority record, they will have fishes as their broader term. So we will list all these narrower terms down here on this side. So this brings me to the end of my part of the presentation. Thank you for your attention. I hope you can see that this too will be a very exciting development and an exciting tool to have for subject catalogers. Now I'll hand over to Alison, who will talk about our vision of the future. Thank you.
Juan's presented some of the work that we're doing in the Bibliographic Standards and Strategy branch at the National Library. And what we wanted to do with this part of the presentation was much more speculative, and in lots of ways I think less exciting. Some of the first part of the paper is based on some work I did for the initial paper that proposed the subject suggester for the Collection Management Division. And the latter part is picking up on some more recent developments. Above us on screen are some catalogue prototypes that are leveraging LCSH to assist end users to find items by topic. The ones that I've chosen to show I grabbed quickly. One is the Primo implementation at Vanderbilt, and the other one is from the Library Labs prototype, and that's actually the same screen Juan just showed you. It's a search of the authority records. The reason that I wanted to put them up, and it doesn't matter if you can't read the details, was just to illustrate. And I think there's been discussion about the role of controlled vocabulary, and it's just an illustration of what we can do with it. Controlled vocabulary helps us to ensure that all the items on a particular topic are brought together. That's its role. So books on the Murray-Darling Basin and the Murray watershed are recognised as being similar, if there were books on the Murray watershed, which I suspect there aren't. But it also disambiguates, so that the fence in your backyard is separated from the art thief's best friend. Until now, our OPACs have been slow to leverage the information that are inherent in the Library of Congress subject heading, but in the last 12 months, I think we've seen dozens of implementations come in, and this is really changing the access for users. What I want to discuss in this presentation, though, is whether subject assignation by trained professionals will continue to be the most effective way to provide the data that we need to do this, to provide the answers for these searches. And I mean, this feeds very much on from a lot of the discussion today about some of the pressures. I want to look at a couple of specific technologies in this presentation that I think will have an impact on the future of subject cataloguing and the way that we work. The first important development, which there's been quite a lot of discussion about, is the digitisation of material. The amount that's currently available in digital form is incredibly significant, particularly when you look at electronic galleys and academic articles. But it's nothing in comparison to the amount that we can expect will be fully digitised in the future. According to the March 22 Economist, Google is now digitising 10 million books a year. Google's own figures are lower than that, but they won't be specific. Even if end users can't access all of that content, the text can be analysed to assist for searching and categorisation. So I'll leave the copyright issues alone because they don't necessarily impact on our ability to use them for categorisation. Google Books shows that you can do reasonably effective search of full-text items because they already contain a number of words that relate to the subject. Obviously, this will only work for items with text. It doesn't work for pictures, sound recordings, or objects. It also still relies on the text containing the same term that the person has searched on. With Google Books, this is really a problem for people because there's so much material there, they'll find something relevant to their needs, but we do know that there's material that they won't find. For example, the word radical that I've used in this search can mean very different things to very different people. If there was material written about revolutionary librarians, my search may not have found it. Maybe I'm defining radical librarians by politics or maybe by the way they want to shelf books. Whatever I've meant, the chances are that I found only a small portion of what was available without any metadata that's based on controlled vocabulary. But there are technologies being developed now that I think we should be aware of that will improve full-text searching even without human classification. Automated metadata extraction is a term that refers to the process of building computer software that can analyse the structure of language to develop metadata. In the last few years, there's been a lot of progress in making this work to extract information such as creator, date published, publisher, and so on, particularly with websites. So far, however, there has really been very little progress on being able to analyse and prove subject descriptors. It's a lot easier to tell who created something than to designate the content. The Library of Congress did a study that reported in late 2005 that concluded this technology was considerable way off being able to use for categorisation, but we should be aware that it's happening. There is a form of automated classification, however, which is very different in principle and is having considerably more success. Unlike the above approach, it does not attempt to teach the computer program how to understand language or meaning. Instead, it regards the relationship between metadata and the original document as a series of patterns, and it tries to analyse those patterns. So in the system that's been patented by Recommend, which is just an example, the computer program is trained by analysing a few hundred or a few thousand full-text documents that have already been catalogued. So it looks at the terms that were assigned in the full-text documents, and it tries to work out the patterns between those two elements of the data. So, for example, if the term HMS appears frequently in the documents, then Navy would tend to be one of the subject headings that's been allocated. It looks for rare terms. This kind of technology is being very widely used and widely developed for different purposes. It's the sort of technology that lies behind most of the recommendations that are offered to you by Amazon or by Netflix. It is, however, still most successful with short full-text documents, such as news articles, or with documents that are on a very defined topic and where the variance between subject keywords isn't huge. Even with those, it's less accurate than human classification, and most of the people who've implemented those systems have a human check on it. But I'll come back to some of the advantages in a minute. The next development I want to talk about is user-generated tags. Now, Anne Beaumont will be discussing the tagging phenomenon in more detail in the next presentation. I'll restrict this to a discussion about the implications that it has for cataloguing, and I'm hoping that the discussion can flow over into the rest of this afternoon. There's nothing really new in the concept of tags. They're just free keywords that are entered to describe an item, not even necessarily the subject of a work, but an item itself, or aspects of the work. It's an approach that cataloguers haven't used because without a thesaurus, each cataloguer will use terms that are just specific to him or her, and there's no way to link related concepts together. Even if you had three cataloguers using free text words with each item, you wouldn't end up with the wide variety of terms that people will use when they're searching for items. But what if you had 100 cataloguers typing in free text terms, or 1,000 cataloguers? Well, for a start, the results wouldn't fit on a catalogue card. But the bits and bytes are small enough for us to store in a digital world. There's no limit to the size of the metadata, well, there's metadata records. Now, there's no contemporary institution that can afford to have 100 cataloguers working on each item, which is why the essential element to tagging is that it's not carried out by trained professionals, but by users, and it's carried out en masse, the users who are simply typing in terms that they would want to retrieve that item through. I've taken this slide from LibraryThing, which is a social cataloguing site. It allows people to easily create a catalogue of items that they own, and tags is one of the features, so people type in descriptors for the books that they own. The system stores what, at my last count, was up to 22 million tags, which is considerable, that have been assigned to books in the collection. What you see on screen, I am getting there eventually, is called a tag cloud, and it's based around the books that I own and have entered into LibraryThing. A tag cloud is just a visual representation of a collection of tags. That could be tags for a single item, which I'll show you in a second, or for a collection of items. The tags that occur the most frequently are the ones in bigger and bolder type. So on screen, the terms that have been most often applied to books in my collection are classics and comics, for example. They're the words that stand out the most. And while terms such as hip that only occur once in there have only been used once or twice. This isn't the tags I've entered for my books. These are the tags that other people have entered for the books that I own. I have less than 80 books entered into LibraryThing, and the combined tags for that collection is just under 1,000. So that gives you some idea of the different ways that people describe these resources. Many of them, when I looked at my tag cloud, were things that I would never assign to books. I was quite certain nothing I owned was romance fiction. But when I checked, I found three of my books, Wuthering Heights, The Age of Innocence and Ivanhoe, had been frequently tagged romance. There were 10 other books that I owned that one or two people had tagged romance, but they'd been discarded from the list because it was such a small proportion of the overall tags assigned to that item. That's a very important principle because it's one of the most important features of mass tagging. If enough people do it, the vandals, the cranks and the idiosyncratic types, like whoever thought Oedipus Rex was a romance, are washed out by the common consensus. This is the cloud tag for Hunter S. Thompson's book on the Hell's Angels. You can see the natural groups of language and concepts that occur. Some of the terms on screen are just synonyms. One person's bikers is another's motorcycle gangs. But there aren't just different words for the same concept here. There are many distinct concepts. Sociology, drugs, gangs, journalism, violence, counterculture, and autobiography are some of the examples. Not all of those tags are subject tags either. There's a 17 centimetres in there. But I just want to focus on the ones that are subject tags for the purpose of the presentation so that you can catch your planes. By using a mass of people, tagging allows more aboutnesses to be identified for any given book than any individual would pick, particularly if that individual hasn't read the book. Tagging isn't alone in this. One of Recommend's findings in its automated classification was that the system would, on average, assign twice as many relevant subject headings to an item as an individual cataloguer would. This means that by using other ways of subject assignation, tagging and automated analysis, we can potentially improve access to items in the collection, providing more points of entry for a search. One way that we could use tags would be to cluster the synonyms around an LCSH term, thus utilising both the interrelated structure of LCSH that lends itself to faceted browsing and the diversity that you get from tags. You could do this by plotting terms that tend to co-occur. It would be a bit like adding all of the tags clustered around a particular concept to a see also field in the authority record. Not all subject terms correlate to LCSH subject headings, though. It can take a long time for a new heading to be approved. Terms like steampunk can gain currency much faster than LCSH can pick them up. I think there is a question about whether we only accept subjects that correlate to an LCSH heading, or whether we can accommodate others. Can we use tags as a way to generate new proposals for LCSH headings? Perhaps even further into the future, could we create an ontology through mapping tag correlations with each other and bypass the step of authority records altogether? Another site that uses tags is the photo uploading site Flickr. Flickr has the capacity to analyse the sets of tags that have been assigned to an item and to create clusters based on that. So this search on jaguars has sorted the images that were tagged with zoo and animal terms from those that had tags about cars or guitars. That's simply done by analysing the tags assigned. There's no other process involved. The end result is a very clear disambiguation between the meanings of the word, and that offers the user the choice of navigating to the correct topic, and that's all done without a structured ontology at all. The search works very well for ambiguous terms like jaguar, apple, or mouse. Other searches using this feature will give you the option to narrow it. A search on environment, for example, will offer clusters based on green activism, nature shots, or urban pollution. The system will also allow you to find broader terms that co-occur in tags, so a search on Niagara Falls will offer the option of searching on waterfalls or Canada. We are a very long way from this sort of technology replacing subject classification, and I'm certainly not proposing that we chuck out the books. We're certainly even a long way from saying that it's a point that it could do that. At the moment, the only significant body of tags for bibliographic records is at LibraryThing, and it's hard to imagine that libraries will build up the mass necessary without an incentive for people to put tags in. There aren't tags for newly released books because people haven't read them and yet haven't tagged them. Automated analysis still doesn't work very well for long documents. Even those the tag clusters I showed you from Flickr at the moment only work for one term at a time and not for searches of more than one term. But it is important that the cataloguing profession is aware of trends in technology and social life that might change the fundamentals of what we think our role is. I think it's important that we don't hang on to absolutes like there will never be another way of doing this or a computer system cannot do this. We have to keep our minds open and watch what's out there and at the same time be very confident about the depth of clarity about what our users need and how clear we are on getting there and that we will have a role to play in that brave new world, even if it's not the same role that we play now. It is clear that in the future, our cataloguing processes and resource discovery systems will be more focused on how to make various kinds of data work together to achieve the best results for users. Making information accessible now and into the future is at the heart of our profession. If we do not think about how to embrace and use new technologies, we will cede the space to others who have less training, or at least different training, less history in the area, and often less interest in publicly accessible and publicly owned access to information. To quote Ranganathan, every book its reader, that's one of the five, remains the reason why cataloguing is needed, and we need to do this by providing good access to information using all available data intelligently and efficiently. Thank you.
We've got time just for one or two fairly brief questions before we go on to our next speaker. Anybody who'd like to ask a question? In the middle, Eb, Richard McCann.
Hi. I was just wondering when you think this subject suggests a thing would be available.
And, the killer question.
And in what form, I mean, is this meant to be of use to other librarians, not just the ENLA?
I have to ask my manager how much time I can have on this. I'm working on this part-time at the moment, plus another part-time IT person. So we are hoping to get this, because we already have a very crude prototype, we just keep making improvements and asking National Library staff, you know, our catalogers, new and experienced, to comment and let us know what's most useful to them in their daily workflow. And also we will need to make sure that we have the LCSH file, the up-to-date LCSH file, and up-to-date DOI data to fit into the system. So I think there is still quite a lot of work to do, but I would hope we'll make quite good progress in the coming months. And my manager is going to comment.
Yeah, I just wanted to partly address that. At the moment, we're still checking the feasibility, so we've got lots of good ideas. We really want to test them with catalogers and prove the concept that this is actually going to improve the quality and efficiency of their cataloguing. We've talked to OCLC. They're interested in what we're doing from the web jury point of view, and also to the Library of Congress. So we'll just see how it goes at this stage.
One more question if there's time, if anybody's interested to ask. No? No? Okay. We might just like to ask you to join me in thanking Juan and Alison again. Thank you.